morning's scripture is from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained."
That is God's word for God's people. Thank you. I couldn't find a better Sunday than today to share this church humor inspired by people who go to the football game on Sundays. Right, in a never-ending effort to attract the unchurched, some churches have considered translating their unfamiliar terminology into familiar football phrases. So there's a long list of the examples, but I can share just some of them. Illegal motion. So we call illegal motion in the church when people leave before benediction. You got it? Okay. And then here, and then end zone. That is what we call for the pews, the end zone. And then here, I don't know whether I like this or not. Yeah, we call rain delay when we have a baptism. Got it? Yeah. Well, we have that one today, but I hope you don't take it as a rain delay, as a delay. I found another kind of humor, but some of them actually are sarcastic. So I'd like to share just one that can be... yeah, acceptable. A football fan is it's about a difference between a football fan and a church member. A football fan gets excited if a game goes into overtime. But you can guess, right? A church member gets mad if the pastor preaches 1 minute past the given time. Yes, yes. This is our final Sunday with the current message series on how and why we worship. The United Methodist Book of Worship introduces the basic pattern of corporate worship with four major actions, like four quarters in a football game: gathering, listening, and responding to God's word. And if you have more time, then here is like not a halftime show, but a celebrating the Lord's Supper. And the final quarter will be here, going out. Yes, going out is a part of a corporate worship. This part of a worship doesn't take long, but it's meaningful enough to be a part intentionally separated and highlighted, because it connects our time in the church to our time beyond the church. What we experienced and learned in worship must be reflected on how we act after worship, right? We depart from corporate worship, but our life of worship continues. Worship is more than an hour of ritual filled with songs and prayers. Worship is how we lead a life, honoring God who created us and redeemed us and sustains us, telling ourselves and the world around us that we value our relationship with God, and that we view the world with eyes of Jesus' teachings. With this renewed commitment and conviction, we go out from worship. There is one phrase that comes to my mind. It is in the hymn, "Sent Forth by God's Blessing." It is a popular hymn for the closing of worship, right? The service is ended, but now is extended. I cannot find the tune. Yeah. the service is ended, but now it's extended. I love it. And if you open the hymnal to page 664, then you see what follows the phrase. With the singing of the song, we say this: the fruit of our worship in all who believe, the seed of the teaching, receptive souls reaching, shall blossom in action for God and for all. Right, as we go out from the assembly of God's people now to the world and engage in its culture with God's message and values, we are being sent forth to live out our faith in our daily lives, in our relationship with family and friends, in our time of work and leisure, in our society and communities at large, everywhere and all the time. We know that it's not about doing it alone, but doing it with the help of God who walks along with us on our life journey. So we are sent forth by God's blessing. Yes, as our gathering comes to an end, we remind ourselves and each other that God's blessing is promised, and that with God's blessing, we are commissioned. God's promise of a blessing and God's call to mission go hand in hand. Yet we find this too in the words of Jesus when the risen Christ spoke to his disciples. Yet the disciples came to the room being fearful of what would happen to them after their teacher was crucified. Now that they had run from those who would harm them, they were gathered behind locked doors. To these disciples, Jesus appeared, and he first said, "Peace be with you." Jesus wished the disciples peace. Likewise, he blesses us with peace. Church is a place of Christ's peace. We come to this place and draw ourselves deeper to God's presence to be nestled in God's bosom. In this place, we lay down the heavenly load of burdens that weigh our hearts. It is a place where we can rest assured that God hears our prayers. It is a place where we get closer to God in a more intimate relationship with Him. Simply, it is a place good to be, good for our soul and our whole being. It is true, even on the morning when cheers for the Packers are loud all around us. But I acknowledge, looking to what's going on in our country and in the world, we feel that peace is far off. When will the war be over in the land of Ukraine? When will the children of God be safe and free from the dangers of gun violence and nuclear proliferation? When will no one go to bed hungry, though the earth produce more food, food more than everyone can eat their fill? When will no one have to die from a curable disease for the reason that they don't have money for medical treatment? Then what about our inner being? What has occupied our mind? What noises take over our inner self? Then we come to this fact, this knowledge over and over. Life is not easy. Peace is far off. When you get home after church, what are waiting for you might be a basket of medication pills, or a pile of unpaid bills, or a list of unfinished tasks and chores, or the restlessness and distress for unresolved conflicts in your relationships with others. So friends, this is my prayer. As you go out from this place into the places of your everyday life, you go in Christ's peace. Because Christ says, "Peace be with you," blesses us with God's peace. Yes. Here, Jesus said, "Peace be with you." When he said this, He breathed on the disciples and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit, the Spirit who lives and moves and have our being." Yes, provides us with what we need for a life of faith, a life of hope, and life of peace. So it is in the power of the Holy Spirit that we go out so we can bear with another week in the world while living by faith, while living with hope and in peace, the peace that the world cannot give to us. Then hear the complete words of Jesus in this passage. "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent you, so I send you. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." You might wonder why forgiveness is the mission that Jesus required of the disciples here, along with the granting of the Holy Spirit. I think Jesus is asking the disciples to share with others what they have experienced in their relationship with Jesus and in their knowledge of Jesus. Yes, the mission we are given is to speak in words and deeds the good news of the new life that we have found in Jesus. Here is one story. A couple moved to a new place. They looked for a good church in their new neighborhood. And this is what they did to find a good church among three churches in their town. So one Sunday morning, around the time that worship must end, the couple drove to the first church. Then they saw that cars were pulling away from the parking lot, and most of the drivers wanted to rush off. Even some drivers honked a horn to pressure others to pull out their cars quickly. What do you think the couple's impression of the church was? Then they drove to the second church. People were walking out of the church building, and most of them showed kinds of stony faces or expressionless faces. No talk, but just scattered with a stern face. The couple were wondering what happened during worship. Then they changed their direction to the third church. When they arrived, people were departing after worship. What the couple saw there was smiling faces of the people, like us, right? Can I say that, right? Some of them were talking in a fellowship with one another. Their smiling faces were indicators of how the people worship there and how their worship life makes an impact in their lives beyond the church building. So what does this story teach us? Is it that we should keep smiling and like with our fake smile all the time, especially after church? No. It is that our life after worship reveals what we experienced in worship. It is that we must be recognized that our lives will be recognized by how we lead a life. It is true, no matter whether we like it or not. So friends, I hope and pray that you can trust that you are given Christ's peace here. Let it flow your heart and roll like a river. I hope and pray that you can trust that in worship you are given Christ's light and let it shine. You are given the ever-present Spirit of God. Let the Spirit continue to speak to your heart beyond the worship hour. You are given God's Word. Let it be fulfilled in your life and in the lives of the people with whom you share the Word. You are given the body and blood of Christ. Let you then be His body for the world. This week, Linda Roth and I talked on the phone. Our conversation led to a moment of teaching for me. Linda said, everybody needs somebody, right? What a reminder of the truth. Everybody needs somebody who reflects the good news of life in words and deeds. Everybody needs somebody who shares what God has given to them. Everybody needs somebody who mirrors God's love. Then it brought me more memories of what I experienced this past week. This week, sitting next to Bruce Thompson's hospital bed and sitting next to an elderly couple of our church in their living room, I felt God's Spirit being present and found myself saying to them, hey, Bruce, I need you. I need your presence. Your sharing of God's given wisdom and talents. Your sharing of a friendship. I need you. And I wanted to say the same words to each one of you here. Why do I need you? It's because I know I need Jesus. And I know that Jesus is being reflected in you. Not just on Sunday in the pews, but 7 days in your life beyond Sunday worship. For this reason, we need each other. Don't we? The world asks us, where is Jesus? And I hope and pray we can be an answer to that question. May our hands of Christ, may our hands be Christ's hands visible to the world. May our feet be Christ's feet to do good. So we go from this gathering of worship to the world as hands and feet of Jesus because we are given Jesus. Because we have been taught His good news for all. So I close this sermon with one story from retired Bishop Sally Dick of the Northern Illinois Conference. One morning, she, who was then a district superintendent in the Iowa Conference, was reading a county newspaper. It had an advertisement of one of the big churches in the town. The name of the church was the First Church of God. But that morning, she found there is no D for the word God in the advertisement. Slapping her lap, Bishop Dick said to herself, yes, I wanted to be part of such church as First Church of what? Go. Go. Is our worship ended? We'd better say our worship is extended because we are a church of go. Because we are sent forth by God's blessing and commissioning, we are promised to be accompanied by Jesus in spirit. We are entrusted with the power of the Holy Spirit to carry out God's mission and to represent Christ in the world. So, let your worship continue as you go out into the world. May you do so out of profound joy and assurance of a faith. Because blessed are you who hear the word of God and put it into practice. Amen.